Welcome to Career Tools. This week, event follow-up. The questions this cast answers are, what should I do after an event to make the best use of it? How do I keep in touch with people after an event? And what should I expect from others after an event? Industry events and big training events are great places to find people to add to your network. And often what happens is we come home with a fistful of cards and we say, I'm going to do something with them. This time I'm going to keep in touch. And the pile just languishes on our desks, and then it's been a year, so you just trash them. And that's just a waste of the opportunity. It's a waste of the conversations you've had. It's a waste of the time. It's a waste of energy. And we're going to tell you in this guidance what to do instead. So our outline is get cards, like actually get the information you need, put the information into your contact management system, and then control shift K, which is Outlook's way of reminding you that you have something to do. So it sounds pretty simple, Sarah.
It does. The easiest part is the first part, honestly, getting the cards. It's usually something that we all do anyway, and it's the first step to keeping in touch with people. Anybody who wants you to remember them is going to have a big sheaf of business cards. Sometimes they're going to urge you to take more than one business card, pass them around. If you forget them on a table somewhere, someone might pick it up and the word is spread. Most of us aren't so rude as to throw the card away, like turn around and toss it in the wastebasket. Now, if you are, for clarity, don't do that again. However, what we want you to do is keep those cards. And now, if the moment, if you have a pen in your hand, perfect. On the back of the card or somewhere in the white space, if it's two-sided, what have you, write down something, some sort of memory mnemonic device to help remember that person. Something you talked about is ideal. I know I do it all the time at our public conferences. I'll just write down something, met them in Newark, but they live in Palo Alto. Just something to help me remember. And it only needs to be a couple of words, like, if they're a manager, the carpet reminds me of a person I recently talked to. Just something to help jog your memory in the moment about that person.
And you could do that right in front of someone. As long as you keep what you write relative, you know, you write about their children or the conversation you had or where they're from or something memorable, how they got to the place. Depends what you've talked about, really. You can do it right in front of someone. So writing something with a pen has a really different effect than you tapping something into your phone. So if you turn their card over and say, I want to remember you, I'm just going to write down that we talked about, whatever, carpet. Because carpet in hotels is always vile. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. It's to hide the dirt. But, you know, if we had that conversation about carpet, then I would write on the back, carpet. Because they can see what you're writing, it's not offensive. Whereas if you start tapping on your phone, people wonder what you're tapping because they can't see the screen.
Oh, they're doing a text message right now while we're talking. It just gives away that air of rudeness. It just does.
Are you doing email while we're talking? Like, don't do that. Whereas if you just turn over and make a two-word note, there's nothing. It seems so much more innocent. So do that. Make sure you have a pen. If you're at an event, make sure you have a pen and just write on the back or write on the white space. And then you need to keep the cards until you have somewhere to process them.
Yeah, absolutely. And as soon as you possibly can, we recommend that you process those cards. If you are at a multi-day event, maybe in the evening, go through your stack of cards real quick and process them that day. Because the longer you leave it, the less those little notes you jotted down are going to mean to you. The less you're going to remember. So if you can do it right there in the moment, that, and I find, when you have a stack of 50 business cards in front of you to process, you put it off. Whereas if I have one, oh man, I just want to get this thing off my plate and throw it away. But when there's so many, it feels like a burden. It feels like administrative work. So the pile grows rather than just dealing with it. So dealing with it in the moment as fast as possible will make your notes mean more and get it off the plate.
That's a really good idea. Like, do it on the plane on the way home. You know, there's nothing else to do on a plane. So when we say process, what we actually mean is put the information into your contact management system. So whatever contact management system you have. Now, you might use Outlook, you might use your phone's contacts, you might use a spreadsheet. Some people I know use spreadsheets still. but what we want to do is make the task easy. And the way we make tasks easy is we systematize them, so we always know how to do them, and we do them little and often. So what we're going to do is process the cards and then systematize staying in touch with people in your network. And if you haven't started a contact management system, if you're thinking, what is that? Just use the one that comes with your email. Your email has contacts in it. Just use that and put that in their name and their phone number and so on. And we'll do that. If you needed something more high powered than that, you'd already be using it. So your email is absolutely fine. But then you just put the details from the business card into your system, including the memorable thing that you wrote down. So on their card is probably their name, their email address, the company, sometimes a physical address, probably a phone number. So put all of that into the file, I guess, the card for that person, and then a note about the note you made about something memorable about them. Because that's what's going to help you remember later who they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I use Excel for it, which I know it feels like super olden days. I really like using Excel because I like to know where people are located. So I sort it by location. If I'm going to Palo Alto, for example, do a quick search of all my Palo Alto people. Who's there? Who could I go for coffee with? Who could I reach out to and say hi? So it works for me, but you'll find a way that works best for you. What I do struggle with, though, is the last piece. Before you throw that card away, go find that person on LinkedIn and connect with them there. Right? Once it's in the system, that's not enough. Connect with them on LinkedIn. And we recommend that you do this for three reasons. First, you'll be contacting them right after you met them. Right? If you met them and it was kind of a rush situation, this is a way of you saying to them, hey, I want to keep in touch. It helps them remember who you are, puts your face in front of their eyes again right away.
Right, because you've made a note about where you saw them and what you were talking about, but they may not have. Unless you make an initial reach out quickly, they're not going to make the connection later on. And there's nothing worse than people say, hey, we met at this place. And you're like, I have no recollection of meeting you whatsoever. And then you wonder, what did I tell you? What were we talking about? What, you know, am I about to repeat myself?
Absolutely. And then secondly, LinkedIn's going to tell you about the posts they made, right? Things that they liked, work anniversaries, amongst other things, which always gives you a great excuse to contact them in the future. You read an article they posted and you can like it, or they have a work anniversary, just a real quick, hey, congrats, I saw on LinkedIn, you've been with your company for a year. Again, that keeping your face in front of them, keeping you top of mind.
One of the things that people worry about when we say keep in touch is, what do I talk about? And using LinkedIn is really good because it gives you something to talk about. And not everybody posts, not everybody has it set so that their anniversaries come up. It's not foolproof because it depends on how other people are using LinkedIn, but it's better than nothing. It's better than that card on your desk. Even if in 50% of the cases, it gives you a reason to connect with that person and you're able to keep in touch, that's 50% more of the time than it was when you came home with 50 business cards, put them on your desk, left them there for a year, and then put them in the trash. So it's not perfect. And LinkedIn right now in 2019 is the de facto business contact standard. And it may not be forever, but for now, it's the good enough solution. And there's never a perfect solution. If you wait for perfect, you'll be waiting forever. So LinkedIn is the good enough for now.
Exactly. And I just think to myself, how many people do I say, in air quotes here, that I know, but I don't know them. I just see them posting on LinkedIn all the time. I know what they look like. I kind of remember their names, but I feel like I know those people. If they reached out to me, I'd be like, oh, I know that guy. I don't know that guy, but I've seen him post enough or like things that it's top of mind. It's a convenient way if you're not somebody that thinks of that. And then the third piece of this is their LinkedIn is going to follow them on to the next job. It's something that stays with the person, not with the organization. Unlike email, where if you're connecting via email, great. But that stuff doesn't go with the person when they've left their job. It's going to become useless when they're gone. They have no way of finding you, connecting with you, even if they wanted to. So having LinkedIn there, it's something that always stays with the person, regardless of where they've gone.
Okay, and the last part, this is really easy. We've done this so fast. Get cards, put them in your contact management system. And the last part is Control-Shift-K, which is the shortcut on Outlook for a repeating task. So what we're saying here is set up a new task to keep in touch with that person and make it repeating every 3 months. Now, you may not use Outlook as your task manager. You may use OmniFocus. You may use one of the other systems. You may use just the tasks in Google or in your iPhone. It doesn't matter. All of the task management systems now have repeating tasks. So whatever the shortcut is for whatever you're using, what you want to do is put the person's name in and write, keep in touch with, and make that repeat every 3 months. So you've just made an initial contact through LinkedIn. So what you're telling your system, or what you want to tell your system, is in 3 months, remind me to keep in touch with that person. It's pointless having a list of people that you know if you're not actually keeping in touch with them. Because as Sarah just said, you don't know them at all. You know, if I tried to contact someone that I worked with when I was in a real job and not working at Managed at Alls, if I, you know, from 10 years ago, that's a really hard ask for me to ask something from them. Or even if I offered them something, they'd be like, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas if I had kept in touch every 3 months or even every 6 months for the last 10 years, it's completely different if I need something. Or if even if I want to reach out and help them, they kind of know who I am still. We've kept in contact. We have, however thin the string is between us, there is at least string for the message to go down. In fact, if somebody had 100,000 contacts and they never kept in touch with them, and someone else had 100 contacts and they kept in touch with them regularly, the person who had 100 would be better off. It's not about quantity of names and addresses. It's about the contact that you have with those, the relationships that you have with those people. And you can't have a relationship unless you're in contact with someone. People are anxious about when we say keep in touch. It's like, what do I talk about? And part of the reason I think is they think they have to send an email or leave a phone message or whatever. If they were selling on eBay, would get A++++. You know when eBay gets really excited and marks you as a seller and you get all these A's and all these pluses because they think you're awesome to seller or buyer. That's what we think we're going for when we send an email, but we're not. All we need to do is say hi and I've been thinking about you, or I saw your company did X. I hope that's going well for you. Or I hope that means positive changes for you. You're not going for some hugely valuable insight because you can't. The email that you keep in touch with is not, oh, I'm going to send an email when I can offer that person a lead for a job that's going to triple their salary, because you'll be waiting forever because that will never come. You've got to think of the value of the email as much, much smaller and the barrier being much, much lower. And people don't keep in touch because they're thinking, oh my gosh, it has to be something big. And we've just said, if you don't keep in touch, the contact is useless.
Exactly.
It's the keeping in touch that keeps the relationship, that makes that person or that relationship or that contact useful, which is kind of why you do it. And so if you keep the barrier so high, you're never going to keep in contact and you're going to waste that contact. So you have to reduce your expectations of yourself way down.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't imagine I'm the only one. And if I am, it's still January when this cast is coming out. So you still have time to take advantage of it. An excuse that I used was just to say Happy New Year. And that's all it was. It was Happy New Year. Hey, I hope the holiday season went well. Here's to a successful 2019. And that's all. It was a perfect excuse because I know for me, as a really, really task-focused person, I'm not a very people-focused person, I personally struggle with coming up with a reason, coming up with what do you say? Oh my goodness. I can wrap myself around that for hours. But why? It's the new year. Perfect excuse. So those kinds of opportunities, take them wherever you can.
Right. And LinkedIn puts birthdays on. It says, hey, this person has a birthday, which is kind of naff. You know, it's supposed to be business focused and birthdays should be on Facebook, I think. But again, it does give you a really good reason to reach out to someone. Hey, I saw it was your birthday. Cool.
Right. Exactly.
I think we talk ourselves out of sending anything rather than sending something. But if we put ourselves in the shoes of the person who is receiving it, right? If I got an email from someone who I knew at work 10 years ago, and that person just sent me an email, said, hey, I was thinking about you the other day and all the fun we had when we were recruiting for this team, I would be like, oh, that's so cool. That's really nice that somebody reached out to me, and wasn't that fun when we recruited for that team? That was really awesome. I don't expect, and nor do any of you expect, that an email from someone from 10 years ago is going to say, hey, Wendy, got this amazing opportunity for you by Plastics. If we put ourselves in someone else's shoes, if we put ourselves in the recipient's shoes, or think about what it would be like if somebody emailed us, it's easier to bring that barrier down and think, it's okay if it's just something simple.
Completely agree. And I also would go a step further, Wendy, and say, don't measure the success of your reach out on receiving a response from the person. That's not a requirement. Actually, it was last year in January. We did a public conference in London. I guess this cast is coming out mid-January. We are coming back to London. If you're in the European theater, February 5th and 6th, we'd love to have you. But going back to my story, I had a gentleman in our conference. His name is Daniel Slowasek. He's from Austria. And we've stayed in touch. I always offer my email address, stay in touch. And it was probably 6, maybe 8 months after the conference, he emailed me and said, thank you so much for responding to me, Sarah. I've reached out to so many people from that event and no one's responding. I've kind of been disappointed by that or what have you. And my response was, Daniel, don't feel badly. You're doing exactly what you ought to do. You're reaching out. You're letting them know you're there, that you're interested. You're staying connected. The success of your reach out oughtn't be reliant on, are they reciprocating in exactly the same fashion that I am? That's not the requirement. You're there. They know who you are. Don't allow that, I guess what could be perceived as that discouragement of not getting responses to stop you from reaching out again in the future. Because they'll know you. They'll remember you. Whether or not they're responding, they're seeing that mail. So keep doing it.
I have an email in my inbox, which is from someone I used to work with. And I have a feeling that if I actually went and looked, it may be 8 months old. And it's there. And I keep thinking, I must reply to that person. And she sends me emails fairly regularly. And I want to be in touch with her. I like hearing from her. I like hearing what's going on with her. And I need about 48 hours in every day in order to find the time to reply. Maybe now I've guilted myself on a podcast, I will reply to her. Anne-Marie, I'm really sorry. But the point is, just because she's sending me emails, it's not annoying to me. I'm happy to receive them. I'm not responding because of my own failure, not because I don't want to talk to her, or not because I'm not interested, or not because I don't care about her. All of those things are true. I'm just failing at managing my life enough to have time to reply to her. We would encourage you not to judge the success on the response. Judge your success by the amount that you send out, or the times that you keep in touch. We've all just read Measure What Matters, which is a book about OKRs, which are objectives and key results. Apparently, I read that book and then completely forgot about that. It talks about setting objectives and key results as a way of keeping companies moving in the same direction and achieving their goals. And it talks about different companies that have implemented them. And one of the paragraphs that I highlighted was, I think, Google, but they set OKRs, they set objectives, and then they had to change them because what they were doing was setting an objective for, we're going to I'm going to make this up because I don't remember the actual example, but setting an objective that we're going to have 10,000 people signed up for Gmail, and the time would come and go and they wouldn't have 10,000 people. And what they realized was they had to set the goals as have the system ready to accept 10,000 people, because that was the part they could influence. They couldn't make 10,000 people sign up. I guess you could say it depends on their marketing, but they have much less influence on how many people sign up. They have a lot of influence on whether or not they're ready. And this is kind of the same thing in that you don't have a lot of influence about what happens. You have a lot of influence on how many you're sending out and whether you feel good about the time that you're spending and the regularity with which you're reaching out. And so measure the thing you have influence on, not the thing you don't.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you are one of those people that is actually keeping in touch, kudos, great work. The very few people are. Often we say, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is the king. You have got one eye. The majority of people are not keeping in touch at all. So remove those barriers. Just send the darn email. If you can't think of something to say, look at a LinkedIn profile. Listen to our podcast called Staying in Touch Examples, which will give you more examples on ideas, things that you can find to reach out. And like so many things in life, guys, this isn't going to get any easier unless you start doing it. Would you be better at driving if you'd never drove a car before? No, you would be terrible at it. You don't get better at things by not doing them. You've got to start keeping in touch to be good at keeping in touch. You'll start finding new ways and thinking of new examples. And if you want to start small, do it. Start with the people that you know are the least likely to be important to you. I always recommend that at our conferences. If you want to practice, practice in a super low risk environment. That is, does it matter if they think you're kind of a dummy for reaching out? Do you care that much? No. Perfect opportunity. You're practicing. And then you can start reaching out to those people that you think maybe are, I don't know, I want to say more influential or might somehow shape your career. If you want to worry about casting yourself in the very best light to a person, worry about it later. Start small.
Start small, just start. And if you've never known what to do when people hand you a business card, now you know. You say thank you, you turn it over, you write something about that person, and then you put it into your system, and then you stay in contact. Even though we cautioned you about thinking this is going to be a big payoff, or there is going to be a big payoff, that it's a $1 million sale for you or for the other person, the big payoff could be the outcome. We've all heard stories about people who've been contacted for book deals or for big jobs or for personal things where it's just a method, it's just been keeping in touch that's made that change for them. And as they say, you don't win the lottery unless you buy a ticket. And you've got no chance of those big things coming from keeping in touch emails if you're not sending keeping in touch emails.
Exactly.
That's a good New Year's type cast to start the year, Sarah.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.